Leaving home. Leaving home. What did you do this morning when you left home? The threshold of our own front door is a border we cross every day. A basic geographic habit with little rituals that are so subconscious we hardly are even aware of them. What threshold rituals do you have? Do you pat your pockets to make sure you have what you need for your journey? Your wallet, your phone, your keys? Maybe you perform a little last-minute check in the mirror to make sure you don't have anything stuck in your teeth before you go out or your hair's not standing on end. Do you tell your dog, guard the house? Or perhaps you say to your cat, I won't be very long. Maybe you set the burglar alarm. You lock the door behind you and you cross a border. And we move from a place we feel we possess into a different space. In our first meeting with Abram and Sarai, in the chapter we heard, or the reading we heard this morning from Genesis, God tells them, go. And this word go is accompanied by a huge promise, the promise of land to a landless people. Abram and Sarai, our ancestors in the faith, are migrants. Go from your country and kindred, God tells them, and they go. They make a journey to a new land, perhaps arriving looking like those photos we see of people who arrived long ago on Canada's Pier 21, a scruffy-looking family lugging children and suitcases and maybe even a few sausages from home. And so they arrive in the land of Canaan, and then the story gives us a little clue, a hint beneath the surface of the story. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. So the land that God promised Abram and Sarai already has people living there. And then the story goes on. God appears to Abram and promises the land to Abram's offspring, and Abram then builds an altar to his God. Does this story sound a little familiar, perhaps? Could it also be the story of European arrival in Turtle Island? The European arrival of what we now call Canada? Humanity is on the move, and current refugee numbers worldwide are staggering. Humanity is on the move, and it seems like it was ever thus, even in our creation stories. Humanity is on the move. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve, are evicted from Eden, and then their son Cain is exiled for the crime of murder. And then the flood sends at least one extended family, Noah and all his kindred, into a boat on a journey. You can scarcely open a newspaper without seeing people on boats taking journeys. As the Somali poet Warsan Shire says so fiercely, you have to understand no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. Humanity is on the move. And this is not new, so you'd think we'd be better at it by now. You'd think we'd have learned how to navigate the complex relationships we have as we cross borders, cross thresholds, and as our own borders and thresholds are crossed by others. How will we live together? That's one question. But beneath that question is a harder one for us. Who am I? Who am I, and what is my identity? At the United Church of Canada's General Council this past July, in beautiful downtown Oshawa, Philip Peacock, who is one of our global partners, issued strong challenges in a sermon he gave. He said, quote, "We like to think about refugees and migrants, and it's very easy for us to speak about opening up our homes and our borders to those less privileged. We pat ourselves on the back and tell ourselves that we are hospitable, but the idea of hospitality has a notion of home locked into it. The idea that this is our home and we are inviting others into it to adjust to our ways. But perhaps what we need to do is to be displaced and destabilized ourselves." Words from Philip Peacock from India. Well, similarly, when we talk in the church about being inclusive, there's an assumption that there is a group already here that's doing the including. Does that help us see each other as equals, as beloved kindred? How will we live together? How then will we live? Philip Peacock, in one of the most quoted images of the General Council, urged us to be discombobulated. Isn't that a great word? He said, you have to be discombobulated because only then will we learn to see ourselves from outside of ourselves, to be able to learn from others, and then truly learn our own limitations and our own possibilities. Be discombobulated. I hadn't heard that word since my grandma said it when I was a little kid. So God makes big promises, that big promise to Abram, the promise of land. And we, as faithful, failing people, our ancestors in the faith, move very quickly from singing, "The earth is the Lord's," to shouting today, "Build the wall, build the wall." How then shall we live together? How do we shift from mine to ours? And what does ours even look like? How then shall we live? It's complicated. It's complicated to say the least. It is, to use Philip Peacock's great word, discombobulating. We who count ourselves among the settlers in this land might need to acknowledge that some of our Indigenous relatives may see us less as settlers and more like invaders. That's discombobulating for me. That changes my identity. And to what degree will I welcome shifting my identity, changing how I think of myself? To what degree am I willing to be discombobulated as I cross thresholds and people different than me bump up against me and want me to change? What might have to change in me if I recognize that I'm not exactly entitled to my entitlements? Ouch. Well, I want to bore you a little bit more about some stuff that happened at General Council, because I just think this is so important. We had 10 people running for the position of moderator of the United Church. And the moderator, if you're new to the United Church or don't know this structure, the moderator is the highest position in our denomination structure. That person is the spiritual leader of our church. One of the 10 people running is a man named Colin Phillips, who has, I think, one of the most insightful theological minds I've ever encountered. He has brilliant progressive ideas about the role of church in society and a firm commitment to us traveling the road to right relations with Indigenous folks and to decolonizing church. I thought he was a shoo-in. He was dropped off the ballot in the first round of voting. And that was a great loss to the church and a great loss to the wider culture. The challenge for us who were in the room there is that Colin has cerebral palsy.
and he is not verbal.
He uses a signboard so that a friend or attendant can speak his thoughts to us. So the elections went on, and, you know, the Spirit moved, and we discerned a different leader. And a few days later in the council, things erupted. The racialized minority people, took to the microphones to share their experiences of what it's like to be not white in the United Church of Canada. And I can tell you, we got churched. At the end of that time, as we'd already gone like 2 hours overtime on the very last day of council, Colin made his way to the microphone with one of his attendants. And what he said challenged me, and I suspect many others, very deeply. While affirming the choice of the new moderator, Colin also noted the fear that too many of us have of actually engaging with someone who has profound physical challenges. And he said that while many of us complimented him on his speech to the floor, very few of us asked him about what plans he had put in place to navigate the role of moderator given his disability. Even worse, very few of us said more than great speech and then moved on. We all moved on. We were reluctant to actually engage with Colin. It was painfully obvious that our denomination could not even imagine having a moderator with a difficult disability. Much as in bygone years, we couldn't imagine having a woman as our moderator, or a Cree man from Fisher River. We think we've come a long way, and guess what? We're discombobulated. That challenge that Colin issued to actually sit down and have a conversation with him discombobulated me and made me recognize something that I really don't like recognizing. That even while I was supporting Colin's platform, I was, and I have to confess, I still am, uncomfortable in conversation with him. It's humbling to recognize that as a threshold I'm hesitant to cross. It's discombobulating. I have work to do. Navigating the web of the complex relationships we have with our neighbors is hard work. Some days, we're more willing to be discombobulated than others. Some days, we're willing to be a little bit uncomfortable. Some days, on good days, we can even acknowledge to others that, you know what, I'm uncomfortable. And maybe I'm afraid of saying something that might make me look foolish. And maybe I'm afraid of hearing how you really perceive me. That messes with our minds and messes with our sense of self and really messes with who we think we are. We are not alone. We say in our United Church Creed, we are not alone. We live in God's world. The whole earth is the Lord's. Not mine, not yours, but ours together. How then will we live? Maybe we'll be discombobulated. Amen.